The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Holy shit, it's here, finally!
It's finally
Maximus Prime.
Maps Prime, this is Maps Yellow. It's the only program designed to help you design what you do before and after your workout.
It's so more than meets the eye.
It'll teach you how to prime your body for your workout and how to solidify the signals that you set during your workout after your workout.
Any workout program, it does not have to be a MAPS program. It could be CrossFit. It could be Orange Theory. It could be any program.
Jazzercise.
Anything you want.
Yeah, it'll make, basically what it does is it makes whatever workout you're doing or whatever competition you're doing that much more effective. You can even use this before you compete. If you're going to go on a run or you're going to compete in a jiu-jitsu match, a wrestling match, a basketball tournament, you prime your body properly, you will perform better. Now, this is not a generic program. We teach you how to assess your own body and individualize what you do to prime your body. It's the only program we know in existence that'll help you do
learn
that.
Learn how to get the most out of your program.
Hey, so I want a hacky sack better. Maps Prime.
So check this out. It's on sale for $77. That's the sale price. Plus, you'll get a free Maps Prime t-shirt. And we're only going to do this offer until next Friday. The price goes up after that, and you don't get a t-shirt after that. So $77, Maps Prime, plus a free t-shirt. You can find it at mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
What was that term we learned? In Austin for vagina.
Stench Trench.
Oh,
that's what
let me wait. I'm going to use that. I was waiting to
I think we're
that,
on now. Asshole. I think we're recording now, dude.
Oh, man. Well, we are. Well, I don't know if we're going to put that up.
Why not?
Well, I guess we can.
People need to know. Nervous. People need to know about your pussy magnetism.
Was that? Yeah, but who said that? Was that Connor who used the stench?
No, that was that person we saw at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Stench Trench.
Stench Trench.
I don't even remember, actually. I don't remember where that came out. I remember it, someone saying it, and I don't remember how we got it.
It just makes it not sound awesome. You know what I mean? Right. Like if a girl's like, hey, I want you to look at my stench trench.
You know, it's like,
especially if you had like that kind of a voice.
It's like, you know.
Especially if she sounded like that. I don't know why I made it. Why did I make
it? She picks you up, you know, you're trying to hitch a ride, and then you get in this big rig, and she's like, hey.
No.
You want to play with my stench trench?
Oh, my God.
All the way to Nebraska.
Actually, right?
Like, oh, my God.
Even before
I'll get out right here.
Even before she said stench trench, if she just sounded like you just did right now.
Yeah. Her name is Marge.
I'd get the fuck out.
Hey, come on in.
Whoa.
It's going to be a fun ride.
It might be a fun ride.
It's just me and my stench trench.
Might be a fun ride.
That's disgusting.
I feel like among all of us.
Put your hand right here, son.
I feel like Adam would be the most likely to be attracted to that. Only,
what?
Yeah. You know why?
No. Let me tell you
Adam
why
would
that's
be attracted
not true.
To that?
I could see you like
powerful women.
Yeah. You always say that. Yeah.
See,
so that's a very like, oh, wow. So
she's kind of older.
She's got testosterone in her throat.
I think stench trench, I think it's going to go more towards like the hippie who doesn't take care of herself and ever shower type of person, which I definitely think would be more your style than
my
style
for sure. You know what's funny? So actually healthy people probably have good smelling vaginas. Yeah, because the flora is all balanced.
You think so?
So I think someone
what if they just worked out?
Who douches too much might have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
if you're doing that, it's probably not. Yeah,
you set off too many bombs down God. There.
That's gross.
How did we kick this off with smelly vaginas? We just lost half of our new audience.
Well,
sometimes
we have to talk about it.
Let's talk about pheromones for a second. I feel like this is an important subject. You guys ever notice that? Like if you're really attracted to a woman, just her body smell, something about her body smell is just such a turn on. Has that ever happened to you guys?
Well, yes. As long as it's like she still showers occasionally.
No, I'm not saying like a smelly smell.
I'm not like into the whole smell. Like super earthy patchouli.
See,
oil
I
shit.
Think
no. I'm just saying, like you just smell their arm. You know what I mean?
I
or their
think,
neck.
I think there's
nobody does that. Dude.
I think
that's
what are you talking about? You don't smell your. You don't
no,
like.
No, I don't. I don't.
You don't nuzzle up to your girl.
I don't.
No,
like
the neck. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm cool with that.
Well,
or like she'll put on some certain like fragrances. I'm like, oh,
what kind of fragrance?
Really subtle.
What's your favorite fragrance?
I don't know what it is. I think it's like Curve or something for women.
Curve for women. Oh, so it's a perfume.
Yeah. It gets,
you don't have a,
I don't like perfume. It
gets me in.
You don't have a specific.
It's very subtle, though. It's like a drop of it. You know what I mean?
You don't have a specific scent like honeydew or, you know, pumpkin spice or.
Or armpit.
Yeah. I don't know. you know what I'm saying?
For me.
Nothing like that? Vanilla.
Oh, like, yeah, like lotions. Like yeah.
You like vanilla, Adam?
Yeah, Adam so likes the this is, the rainbow.
This is my theory on that. I think that at one point in our lives, whether it be going all the way back to when we were babies or during puberty or so, like, so I have this very, very strong attraction to the smell of vanilla. Like all the candles in my house are vanilla. I love when my girl wears vanilla lotion from Body Works or whatever the fuck that is, and Victoria's Secret. I love the vanilla smell, right? And I know part of that stems from my
that
early
stripper that one time.
No, well, the early years when I was going through puberty, the girl powder. That I was dating and experiencing a lot of my first sexual experiences was with this girl, and the smells that she smelled like, I was very, very attracted to. And so I think I connect.
You do realize that your girl will never wear vanilla now.
No, that's not true.
You literally just said.
That's true. Mine was cotton candy.
I have a relationship with my girl where we talk about things like this.
So you're like, baby, you smell just like my
first
girlfriend.
No, I don't say that. I share it the same way I just shared with the audience right now, is that I believe that when you have this, like, and the way you think that you think it's the pheromones that you're attracted to in the smell, I think you probably had an experience at one point in your life where you had a smell that was similar to that you have connected to a part of your life where.
That's why I tell my girlfriend to put bacon all over herself.
Maybe.
Because it just reminds me of bacon.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that explains weird fetishes like that, because some people are weird like that, where they like these weird, smells of food and things like that, that they connect that with something else.
There's definitely memory connections with smells. I mean, a smell will take you somewhere so quickly.
Right away.
You ever notice that? Like you walk in a room, you smell something, you're like,
that's why I
Justin
that.
Farted or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you remember exactly the time that he farted the first time.
Yeah.
But there's also
they call it Irish musk.
But pheromones definitely exist, and they definitely do influence how we feel. One of the reasons why we like to kiss each other is because we like to smell each other. This has been proven in science.
I like the taste. You know what I mean?
What?
I thought it was about the taste.
Well, taste, how much of taste is smell?
Mm-hmm.
A good chunk of that,
very,
right?
Very, very good point there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, you know how, when Adam's always
like smelling and tasting breath.
Yeah, like Adam's always trying to he's always trying to nuzzle in my beard. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, man.
It's the smell.
It's like you got a little extra in there. I'm going to eat it.
It's my beardly smell.
I see.
Anyway, hey, what happened to your new shoes? You're not wearing your new Converse anymore?
No, these are comfortable. I want to save those for special occasions.
he saves his new Converse when he dresses up.
Exactly. That's what I'm dressed
up. He did.
Yeah, we're going out
I'm
tonight.
I'm wearing sweats and shit.
Wearing the new Cons.
That's
sure.
Is there something?
Gotta keep one fresh pair.
So I need you guys' help, because you guys are much more experienced when it comes to wearing Chucks. I hadn't worn Chucks for over decades. Just started wearing them again. So I wore them as a kid. Now I'm wearing them again. Is there something special about Chucks where the older they get, the more you like them?
Yeah. They fit better.
Yeah.
Like, I almost want
to mold to your foot.
I don't want to get new ones because I like these ones.
I feel the same way, dude.
Yeah, no, the material is just, I mean, once they wear, they're like a pair of jeans, right? Like a good pair of worn jeans. Like when you wear in your jeans, like nobody likes a pair of jeans when you just first buy them in comparison to the pair you've had for like 3 years that you love to wear.
It punches your sack. It's not comfortable.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I feel like Chucks are very similar. I mean, they're made of that kind of jean material. And so the more you wear, you wear right into them to form around your feet. So they become even more comfortable. The only problem is that, like, if you have the lighter pairs, like my white ones, I always have to end up buying a new pair.
They get filthy.
The black ones, though, the black and the dark colors are like red. Like, I'll wear the red ones till they turn fucking pink, and I wear the black ones till they turn gray.
Do you wash them? Can you put them in the wash?
You can. I have,
I haven't done that.
I have, and they're just not quite the same. It's not the same as like just wearing them until they're, and for me, they're $40 fucking shoes. So I just wear them until I get a year plus out of a pair of Chucks. So if it's a $40 every year to get a new pair of Chucks, I'm like, whatever.
So I got made fun of the other day on, I don't remember, Instagram, because apparently
your shoelaces are too long.
Well, What? So what's the deal with that?
Are you supposed to change the shoelaces? Well, you don't.
Why didn't you fuckers tell me?
Well, you didn't.
You just let me fuck shit up.
You don't ask because I've already.
You don't double knot, bro.
No, I didn't have to ask. You just tell me. I would have done
Nobody said nothing.
Well, I know what happened. You guys are like, let's make him look ridiculous.
No.
Leave him in the fucking long shoes.
What do we got to do?
It's like this. It's like this.
Yes.
Just like we talk about with fitness, like there's big, like either using the spoon or using the bowl or using the tractor to dig the hole, right? Like when I try and help you with fashion, I try and give you like the big things, and that would be like wearing the black socks with your black shoes, but you're wearing white socks again with your black shoes, so I'm not going to give you a hard time about the length of your shoelaces because you haven't fixed the first problem. So I'm trying to help you little by little with those little things, but if I tell you and then you stop doing it, then what the fuck's the point of nitpicking all the other little things you're doing?
Oh, so leave them then.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to give a shit about the socks matching, then who cares if your shoelaces are a little too long, too.
Because I like the long shoelaces.
Yeah, it goes with you.
I feel, things are longer on me. You know what I mean, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
So sure.
It's it's a
really
theme.
Long and skinny.
However you want to draw it,
I
want to
be
bro.
Consistent with my theme here.
It's like a pencil. It's and my really length, long and skinny.
In terms of length.
Pointy.
Length of things.
Hey, what the hell? I can't sing, so whatever. You know, yeah. I can't sing. You can't dress, you know. That's so
no, you can sing.
You can't sing.
Dude,
you can't dress. Only thing about you is a way that you caress. I don't know.
Wow.
I didn't know where to go with that.
That
was good.
Phil Collins?
Yeah, yeah. Phil Collins.
Wow. Little Phil Collins right there.
Come on.
Waiting.
Our audience. Yeah, that's our demographic.
Yeah, you
right?
lost all the 25-year-old and younger.
Phil Collins.
They're like,
Phil Collins today?
What did he just do?
I don't know, Adam. Justin, every time he sings, like the panties fall.
How about when your cousin was inside of our facility yesterday and he was fixing the floors and he had never seen NBA Jam before?
Oh, the arcade?
What the fuck?
Is he sheltered or what?
No, he's young. Dude.
How young is he? He's got to be early 20s then.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Video games, real quick, made a massive shift. Like, who the fuck went to arcades after gaming consoles got really good?
Yeah, right after Xbox.
It just
why would you go?
I know.
They were still popular
during the Nintendo days and Atari days when we were all playing because arcades were still cooler.
Dude, there's this place called Special Effects. We used to just live there.
But
I
feel,
would just buy tokens.
I feel
all
like
day.
Yeah, right. I feel like a kid like him though sees that and they look at it and they're like, "That's so lame. Why would you?"
Bro, I used to, it's only three buttons.
Like, yeah. That's, you know?
So I used to walk to this place by my, where I grew up, right? There was this place called.
Didn't have VR.
It was the Express Market, and they had like two arcade games there, and one of them was Street Fighter. And it was a good 15-minute walk to this place, maybe 20 minutes. I used to find one quarter. And I'd make the fucking walk all the way over there just to play one game.
You had to make that happen.
And if I lost, I just had to.
You died, you're fucked.
And so inevitably, I'm playing Street Fighter. And I got pretty good until the young Asian kid jumped on there. And then it would just whoop all over me.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Remember that when we were kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The little Asian kid that would get on there.
Just come in and then Chung Li your face.
Just fucking whoop on you.
Yeah.
So I'm not being racist or anything. I'm just saying they're good.
Maybe that wasn't the character he chose.
I'm just saying they're good.
Yeah.
They were good back then.
I'm with you on that.
And it was always the young Asian kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like ping pong. I used to get destroyed.
Where'd you play ping pong?
All the time. Me and my brother would play because we grew up on this kind of campgrounds and like they would have these conferences coming in and out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You do like ping pong.
Dude. I mean, it was my jam. That and the other one, foosball.
Foosball.
We would like, yeah, that was the one thing me and my brother, we would just like dominate people because we'd practice all summer and we'd play and then like, yeah.
Do you guys make
Asian
money
kids would come and just destroy us.
Really? They'd fuck you up too?
Fuck yeah.
God damn it.
It pissed me off.
That's crazy.
But I adopted the whole way to hold the handle because I thought I could, okay, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
So you'd watch them.
So I'd watch and I'd study and like, yeah, just never was on that level.
I wonder if Adam's good at foosball. I don't feel like you.
The foosball.
Are you good at foosie?
Well, we'll see. We'll see when we get it.
We'll see.
Are you getting a foosball play at table?
The foosball will be perfect because that's even something.
Are you fucking even looking for the arm wrestling thing? Are you even doing that at all?
Don't worry.
I'm looking for
don't
the
worry,
punching
Jad,
thing.
I'm on top of it for you. Okay, don't good. Worry. Yeah, no, it's God. It's not like the easiest.
I'm gonna start crying.
You know how hard it was for me to find those two games? It's not like everybody is trying to sell their arcade game, dude. Most people don't want to let go of that shit because they know it's worth money. So it's tough to find something like that and finding your arcade machine or your little arm wrestling machine.
The only people that
tougher.
Kept those still live in grandma's basement. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But foosball will definitely be something that we get over here. It's something easy that we can roll in and out of the closet too. So even if we don't like it in our space, it's not something that it's that big of a deal to get out of the way. Yeah. So
it'd be great to throw some tournaments in there. Boom.
Bang some balls.
Yeah.
Everybody shut up.
You've always wanted to say that.
Here she comes.
Ooh. Here he comes, Mr. Eagle.
Being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First question is from Comic Fitness. What supplements do you use? I'm all about creatine.
Oh, good. Okay.
Does it say use or trust?
Oh, trust.
Trust.
I can't. Yes. I can't read the right.
Justin wrote the board today, so
dude,
it's
that's
it's
why
half,
I don't do it.
It's like half Spanish, half German, and calligraphy.
Yeah.
So if you could figure that out, Doug, that would be great.
I wanted to be a doctor.
Oh, I thought I'd figured it out ahead of time, but I guess I didn't.
So what supplements do we trust? And then he says he's all about creatine.
That's probably the one I take consistently.
Do you still?
Yeah, I take creatine consistently.
Why? It doesn't seem to be working.
What do you mean?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
He's trying to hit you.
He's trying to be funny again.
No, I actually, I don't even mess with creatine. Probably the only supplements I would consider that I take right now is our Chimera coffee because it's got the nootropics in it. So that's the only thing that I really am taking on a consistent basis. Every once in a while, I still use whey protein because...
No way.
No way. I still use whey because I have a hard time getting over 180 grams of protein consistently every day. So especially when I'm intermittent fasting and if I had a couple days where we're traveling. So I'll utilize like an organic, all-natural whey still, and then our Chimera coffee, and that's really all that I've been messing with. But I did use creatine in the past.
You don't even take fish oil, huh?
That's another one every once in a while. But I also use that based off the diet. So if I have...
If you eat fish...
I'm always... Because I love fish, so I try and incorporate fish already in my diet.
How often?
Probably 3 times a week I've got fish in the diet. You know, I would say every other day I try and make an effort, and that's kind of how I am with all my meat. So I have like a... You know, veal and bison, chicken, steak or beef, right? And then fish. I try and rotate all those. And if I find a day where I've had, you know, 2 or 3 of them back to back, 2 or 3 days in a row, if I can't get to the fish or whatever, then you'll see I'll take my omegas. But that's the only time I take it is if I notice that I've had some days in a row where I haven't had any fish. Otherwise, I'm just trying to make sure that...
Yeah, I like supplements for, like you're saying, like, for, you know, according to my diet or how I'm feeling. Like right now, I have a cold, so I'll be taking elderberry, and there's a little bit of congestion in my lungs, so I'll take fenugreek, which is good to kind of help dry that out. Creatine, I take relatively consistently, not daily, but maybe 4 days a week or so, I'll take a couple grams of creatine, only because the literature on creatine is just so supportive.
Right.
Yeah. If it's benefit, there's even health benefits to taking creatine. If you're a vegan,
definitely,
you definitely get a benefit. You get a cognitive benefit from taking creatine. They've actually done studies and shown that IQ scores will go up because creatine. Well, although you're
deficient
body
in it,
yeah, your body can synthesize it from certain amino acids, but because you're not eating any animal proteins or animal.
And that's the true like example of when to supplement, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's something that you're deficient in that you're not really getting from your food. And I did get a lot of a great result from creatine. When I tend to use that a little bit more though when I'm trying to load, like I'm trying to bulk up a bit, and I may be a little bit more focused on adding a little bit more performance enhancements and things and experimenting with things on top of diet. And so I'd be more prone to adding a bit of creatine then. And I have seen great result with that, and a little bit of whey protein and stuff like that supplemental wise, where, you know, maybe I don't have as much time to prepare, steaks or meats or fishes or things like that that's readily available. But other than that, like it tends to revolve around like whole natural foods as much as possible.
It's funny because I used to take so many supplements and I literally noticed nothing when I stopped taking them. Actually, in some cases, I got I noticed better health from not taking all these fucking supplements. Now, I still have a drawer full of supplements, but they're all, again, used as needed. Like I might take vitamin D if I haven't been outside very much, a multivitamin if I feel like my diet's been really crappy. I may take sometimes, maybe not. Sam E is a supplement that I'll take sometimes if I'm feeling kind of down. I notice that'll pick me back up. But you know, nothing really consistent. I mean, I'm telling you that the contrast between what I used to do and what I do now is so dramatic for supplements. I must be saving hundreds of dollars a month on supplements today, and I feel better than I ever have. And that's what I get from people who listen to the show and start doing that themselves. Every single person is like, you know what? I stopped taking all these supplements. I noticed no difference.
But that's the extreme shift. I mean, that's kind of the turning of the wheel that we did, where we realized, oh shit, we don't need all these things in addition to what we're doing in our diet. And like that tended to be the voice in our messages to kind of like pull away from that. Whereas, you know, like there is still like, if we approach it with maybe I'm deficient, or, you know, I'm not like likely to get this in my diet, you know, where are the holes in my diet and where can I, you know, supplement accordingly and all that. So there's still a place there. I think that's what,
not even just that, not even just the diet. Like this is what, I mean, it was great conversation we had with Dr. Andrew Hill recently. And you know, if your sleep is fucked up, man, if you're not sleeping right and your stress levels are crazy and you're not, I mean, there's things that you can do that are going to improve your overall fitness goals by addressing those things first before we start to supplement like this this pill into our body to try and help us get the competitive edge. Like it's, in fact, I believe he even said it's really silly. You know, it's really silly for us to go this route where we're taking these supplements, but then we're missing out on things that are so much bigger. You know, learning to settle down at nighttime and get a good night's rest will benefit us way more than, you know, taking in a supplement or balancing out your diet and getting nutrient dense foods in your diet on a regular basis and, you know, exercising properly and learning how to prime your body before you go into workout. There's all these things that don't cost us any money that we can learn to do to better perform before. And that's why I think that's the stance, right? So I'm not saying that I'm not anti-creatine.
Yeah, you got to build up to peak performance by applying all the foundational concepts and being really good and efficient at that to then experiment with other performance enhancing things that are available.
Well, I think with a supplement company too, or a supplement that you're going to take, look at the direction that they're going, or look at what they're marketing towards. If it's a fat burn, build muscle, you know, these types of things, typically they're not going to do much for you, or if anything at all. If it's a supplement company that doesn't pretend to be the answer to everything, then maybe they've got some products that you might have fun taking. But I think people need to really consider just how you know, pervasive the placebo effect is. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that when you know, pharmaceutical companies do you know, trials on drugs, they have to account for the placebo effect. The placebo effect is fucking real. It's you can count on the placebo effect.
Yeah.
And I can pretty much guarantee that the vast majority of products out there and supplements help people through the placebo effect simply because they think they're taking something that's going to do something. Do they then feel something?
Mm-hmm.
And it's documented. So, you know, stop taking supplements and see what happens. You might be surprised. I think actually what you'll be surprised at is how much more money you have in your wallet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can't, like, this is why, like, I really like, Ben Greenfield. Like, I really think that, you know, if you're going to get into like biohacking and get into supplementing with all these different things, like this guy he's doing all the other stuff first. He's doing this stuff that doesn't cost you money, right? He's taking these.
It makes sense to put a fucking wing on the fucking, you know, a car you've maxed out, done everything.
Yes, right.
But if you're driving a shitty ass car, it's not going to do anything for you.
And I think I gave that analogy a long time ago as far as referring to what I thought.
You're talking about flying cars.
No, I think he means as a spoiler. And that's what I feel like if you have a drag car, the spoiler is like what the added benefit that you get from like supplements. And if you have an engine that is underperforming and you have shitty tires, you have a terrible suspension, then focusing on putting a spoiler is kind of stupid.
Yeah, don't put a spoiler on a 1989 Civic.
Yeah, but if you've built the engine, you've everything, the suspension is tight, you've got great wheels on it, then hey, why not throw a spoiler on the car? Because you are already optimizing all these other things. Like, and that's that's what's cool about Ben Greenfield is I remember like he was going to his house and just seeing this motherfucker lives his brand. Like he literally is doing all these things that he talks about. And then now he's experimenting with like little things like creatine or adding these little nootropics or adding things, you know, to his diet to get to the next level. So I really feel like people should really learn to do all those things first. And then, hey, if you feel like you're fucking dialed nutritionally, you feel like you've got great sleep, you feel like you're doing all those pieces and you want to try and add creatine in there and see, wow, how much more am I getting out of my workouts? But I mean, I would first address my programming, my priming my body heading into that, my nutrition, my sleep, all those I'm going to address first. And then if I feel like I'm fucking dialed all the way in, then yeah, maybe I'm going to add some creatine to my workout to try and maximize that or something. But I mean, definitely focus on the big things first.
MJ Fit Fam, what are the top five questions for a trainer to ask new clients?
Oh. Well, number one has got to be, what are your goals? That's got to be the number one question you need to ask somebody.
And I'm going
to
take that further because I like
What's your name?
When someone gives me...
start there.
When someone gives me a goal, I don't just stop there. So, you know, let's say somebody says they want to lose 30 pounds. To me, that's not the answer yet. Then I'm going to ask them why. And I want to dive in deeper to what is causing them to want to lose 30 pounds and to get really into this person and how they tick. So I think the goal is important, but a lot of times when you're a trainer and you're just meeting somebody and you're kind of asking them questions like this that are normally deep rooted insecurities and things going on, they're going to give you surface answers.
Yeah.
And a really good trainer can actually learn to dive deeper into what makes this person tick and what is really motivating them. And if you can do that, I find that you're going to be able to help this person on a whole nother level. I find,
how many times have you heard someone just say, I want to get in shape?
Yeah, right.
Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Define that for me. What does that mean to you?
Well, that's why I like to highlight what their expectations are, you know, right away. So it's like, I want to see where their vision is as far as, you know, coming into this, like, what are they expecting to get out of training? And, you know, how much time are you giving me to even like provide that for you? And like, what does that even look like? And then, you know, from there, I can sort of discern what to focus on and how to kind of direct that process for them to understand like what exactly like I'm going to do with them.
Yeah, you have to, whatever the top five questions are, you have to dig deeper and get people to really have a conversation with you. Otherwise, it's not going to mean much. Like if I say to someone, you know, what are your goals? And they say, get in shape. And I just leave it at that. I don't know what direction to go with my assessment. I don't know what direction to go with my workouts. I don't know what direction to go with our conversation at all. And by the way, a very effective way to get people to elaborate on a question is to say, how do you mean? It's far less threatening than saying, what do you mean? And so if someone says, I want to get in shape, I say, well, how do you mean? And they tend to get into detail with that. And the second question I think I'll ask is, what does your exercise history look like? What does it look like? What do you do now? And what have you done in the past? And then again, you need to elaborate. If they tell me that they used to do Pilates and yoga and they stopped doing that a year ago, I'm going to ask them, what did they like about it? And what did they not like about it? And why did they stop? Mm-hmm. What made them stop that, you know, particular exercise modality? And I need to know why they stopped, because we don't want to repeat the old behavior.
Excellent question.
And it's a good thing. And that's something I would tell them. I'll literally tell them that, like, okay, so you stopped doing Pilates because you got too busy. Like, how do we prevent that from happening again?
I was going to say my follow-up to that exact question is, you know, I'm curious to what's different this time. You know, what is different this time than the previous time that you've been in shape? And just like Sal said, because we don't want to go down that same path. If it's just, and I really feel like losing weight is very similar to somebody who has like lofty financial goals. A lot of times, like when we are chasing like success financially, people are chasing like a number or a dollar amount, and then when they finally achieve it, they realize that happiness isn't there. They're not satisfied still. A lot of that is very similar to people that are chasing fitness goals. Is really it's not about a number on the scale or even a way they look in the mirror. It's something internally that they need to work on. And a really good trainer can help somebody find that and get to that by asking a lot of these questions. And, you know, absolutely what Sal said. And then I would follow that up with, you know, what is different this time? And, you know, have you made, are you able to dedicate a certain amount of time, either daily or weekly, for yourself? And then I want to get them to commit to that. I want them to get to commit to this time for, you know, if Sal is my client and I'm saying, you know, when, how much time do you have for Sal during the week? Cause I know, you know, you're a wife and you have kids and you have all these,
wow.
You like how I did that? Mm-hmm. you have kids and you have a husband that you're pleasing and you have, and you're cooking dinner and you've got
the fuck out of them.
You got all these things that, you know,
bought yourself some knee pads.
But you know, this is a true story, right? I always like to, I talk to my ladies like this when I'm talking to them that, you know, we put all these people, you know, in front of us, our goals, our bills, our house, our job, our children, our spouse, and then all the way down on number 10 or sometimes less, is where we put ourselves and our personal well-being and health. And it's crazy because if that's in line and we're really healthy and happy with ourselves, then it's amazing how much all those other things that are supposedly more important to you are enhanced. So, you know, something that we need to do is we need to find time to commit to yourself, to better yourself. And, you know, the first step is actually slotting that, you know, is making this time that, okay, Sal, we're going to give you, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from this time to this time. This is going to be this hour for you. And sometimes we're going to be really heavily focused on resistance training and working out. And other times we're going to be talking about mental health. And other times we're going to be talking about nutritional health, because all of it together is what's really important to your success.
I think it's also important you ask them any past injuries and any current injuries or pain, because this is a very, a lot of times people come in and they say, you know, they want to get in better shape or they want to lose weight, but they've been dealing with this chronic shoulder pain or knee pain or back pain. And to them, they've kind of accepted that. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize how important that is to them until you start to get them talking about it. And that also helps direct what you're going to do with your workout, yeah, as well. Because if I can take this person and make their knees start to feel better because we're changing recruitment patterns or increasing extensibility in particular muscles or stability, yeah, or whatever, I'm going to present a lot of value. In fact, I'll tell you something right now. You will be more valuable to someone if you can get their pain
long
to go away.
Term.
Yeah. If you can get their pain to go away, you'll be more valuable than if you can make them lose weight.
Well, I know. 100%.
This is a great point because I have a client just like that, you know, immediately wants to come in, lose weight, and very aesthetic driven, and you know, has like slightly a frozen shoulder, like a looming humongous issue that you know, well, this is kind of like, she's already accepted the fact that you know, like, doesn't have the type of mobility or ranges of motion or ability she used to even have with her arm. And that's a big deal. And to be able to redirect the thinking there and highlight the fact that that's so important for the rest of her life, and that us addressing that will then spawn all this other activity and will, you know, really bring in the synergistic effect of now I can move my body efficiently. Now everything's operating at 100%. My metabolism's changing. All these kinds of things are going to happen as a result. But guess what? This is going to be the priority, and it's not what you want to hear.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's very, I can't stress this enough. If you want to be a trainer who is successful long term, who provides real value to people, because I know people want to lose weight and they want to get in shape and, you know, build muscle and all that stuff. But if they have pain, if they have chronic pain and you can help them solve that issue, you will become far more valuable to them than if you got them to lose 30 pounds. Oh, yeah. I can't stress that enough. And I know some people thinking like, well, that's not, no, it's true, because if you listening right now have chronic pain, you know what I'm talking about. You just deal with that shit every single day, day in and day out. It is life-changing for that pain to go away. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely life-changing. So if you can help them with that, and many times, I'm going to be honest with you, many times it's not that hard of a fix. Yeah. I've literally had people, you know, with shoulder pain, and, you know, during my assessment, I'll have them do, you know, some cable rows and stand behind them and pull their shoulders back and down for them to get them to good scapular retraction depression. Then I'll have them sit there and rest. And while they're resting, I'll press on the top of their traps with some nice pressure so I can do a little bit of deep tissue massage. Then I'll have them do another set, and I'll do this 3 or 4 times. Then I'll have them stand up, and I'll have them move their arm, and their shoulder pain is dramatically reduced right then and there. Now imagine the value that I've just shown that person. Yeah. First of all, I look like a fucking magician when I do that, right? Like, oh my God, this trainer's like, I'm just getting their recruitment pattern changed temporarily. But that kind of value, when you can present that to somebody, it's invaluable.
Well, and this is why we also address the fact that, like, creating this entertainment factor to it and creating, like, this totally intense workout and something that's going to wow them right out of the gates is such the wrong approach to take. Like, long term, like, you may buy them in with the fact that, oh, such a great workout, I got sore, and is something that still exists, is what, like, it just highlights the fact that, like, trainers need to take their job more seriously and get educated and not get so absorbed by the hype of a lot of these modalities out there that are just exposing the fact that people get sucked into what's sexy and what looks like, you know, the answer to get them in shape and ripped and all these different things. Like, you need to take the opposite approach to that and do the hard thing, which is to really work with that person on the things that need to be addressed the most.
And one of the questions has to be to ask the person if they're on any medications that you need to know about. I don't necessarily ask them, what meds are you on? But I'll say, are there any medications that I need to know about as a personal trainer? And are there any medications that can affect your heart rate? This is very, very important. Now, you may not know what the medications are when they rattle them off to you, but it's important to have those as a resource, because if they do hire you, you're going to want to see, hey, this person's on a beta blocker, or, you know, this person's on, just started taking a statin. Because if you start noticing certain side effects and you can't pinpoint what the fuck is going on, like, if I'm doing cardio with this person and I'm checking their heart rate and it ain't going up, but they look like they're freaking straining, and, you know, I know that the beta blocker may be one of the reasons why their heart rate is affected. Or, you know, hey, I just started taking the statin the last month and we're working out and they're not getting stronger, and I'm noticing control issues with their muscle. Well, you know, that's maybe one of the main side effects of taking a statin. Like, this is important information. It's not necessarily going to help you, you know, getting the client to hire you.
Yeah, I'll go on the last one for that, because I was just thinking that when you said that. Because these are, I think what you're saying is basic parkour.
You have to ask that.
Yeah,
right?
You have to ask it. Yeah. Aches, you know, aches, pains, injuries, you know, medication, anything like that. That depression, anything that could be totally hindering their results, for sure you have to ask those. Which I think if you're a private trainer, you could literally Google, you know, trainer parkour, and you'll get you can print off online like a basic,
good point. That's right.
Which will have that basic stuff. But like, yeah, money maker questions for us, I think some of the ones that we first said, and then for like what Sal was saying as far as getting commitment or getting them to hire you, I'll ask them a very straight up question on a scale of 1 to 10, their commitment level. I think that's 1 being you're not very committed to this goal, and 10 being you're extremely committed, you'll do whatever it takes. And most people are going to tell you they're a 10. And I want them to verbalize that, because I'm gonna hold that back. I'm gonna come back to that, mm-hmm, and remind them that, listen, you know, when we first were sitting down and talking about your goals, you know, you were at a 10 of commitment level. This is super important to you. So, you know, and you're obviously looking to me to help guide you. So, you know, I'm gonna give you some things that are gonna be challenging, and maybe things you're going to have to sacrifice, or choices you're gonna have to make that you're not used to. And if you're a level 10 commitment, that I'm hoping that you're willing to go through this process so I can help you. Otherwise, and you may not be a 10, you may be more like a 6 or a 5 in that. So I'll really make sure that I ask that question and dig into that a bit.
Have you guys ever had, because I know we have a lot of trainers listening.
I'm a 10,
you guys ever had like a situation where, well, I mean, I'm sure you guys have done, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of assessments. Any stand out to you where you do your assessment and everything and it just fucking backfires? Or the client just, you know, the potential client just did not work. You guys have any memories of that?
Wow, or you mean where we made a mistake or something?
Either you made a mistake, or the person just said, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely very serious about exercise, not the one I want to work with. You know?
Talk about trying to dig deep right there. I think I think early years, I talk about a lot about your greatest strength is normally your greatest weakness. And, you know, as a communicator, even at a young age, I had the gift of gab. I was able to talk to people, be a chameleon. Like, these are all a great strength to have. But then sometimes what would happen for me when I would get in a situation is I would talk myself out of a sale. Mm. I would talk too much about what I'm going to do or what I want to do, and I didn't spend enough time really digging into this person and asking a lot of the right questions and then truly listening. So that to me is, and I know Sal has talked about it before about, you know, using the order, the ears before the mouth type of deal. And I definitely think that was something that I over the years I grew, because I definitely probably walked some people, from a sale because I talked too much and overwhelmed them to where they were like, oh my God, like I was just trying to lose a few pounds and I feel like you just made this sound like it's this fucking huge daunting task to get to my goal. So I had to learn to know when to push and pull with that. So
I had a similar experience, but it was more on like being too showy, right? So I would take a client and try to overwhelm them with like, I know so much stuff.
Oh, you just confuse the show.
Yeah, and I just confuse, and you yeah, like, yeah. I didn't pick up on their
very similar,
their right. body language that they're telling me like, look, I just want to work out, you know, here's my credit card, you know, and I'm just like, well, and then we're going to do this, and this is what's going on with your spine, this is why you have bad posture, and, cool, dude, and I just kept going on and on and on and on, and I think that they just got like, well, I don't know if this is what I'm looking for. You know, because I just went too far with it.
Well, that's, you know what that comes from? I think that comes from sometimes we lack confidence in ourselves. So the person.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
That's an insecurity that
we
have.
I was totally insecure with how I was presenting it.
Yeah. Cause that person's like, they want to hire you, but you're like, no, let me really show you how awesome I am before you pay.
And then
they
read right through that confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, this kid's not that. This kid's not really super. I had a lady come in. Once, I'll never forget, we did the assessment, and an assessment is not a workout, right? So she came in and we did our 20-30 minute assessment, and then I showed her a few exercises, and then we sat down and she's like, I don't even feel like we worked out. Like, I don't feel like that was a hard workout. And I'm like, well, I mean, we're going to do that. You know, if you hire me, we will get some workouts, but my philosophy to, you know, is this, that, and the other. And she's like, I just want a hard workout. Like, and she walked out because that's all she fucking wanted, you know, was that. And that was a tough one for me because, and I'll never forget, it was a long time ago. I'll never forget because at the time I was kind of a new trainer and I just wanted new clients, you know? So I thought to myself, like, I should have just done what she said. So right. She would have hired me. Now, fast forward, you know, till today, and I would never compromise, you know, my integrity for, but I'll never forget, man. She said that she walked out and I was like, God damn it.
I think that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's something that we could debate a bit because, you would never compromise that now because of your ability to communicate, because of your education level, because of your experience. You wouldn't have to, but
you don't think you could still influence that person if you had them.
Well, I'll tell you how I got there.
Yeah.
To where you're at now. And it took these steps of actually, I would give that to a client like that if they were that adamant where I knew I was going to lose them and they were going to walk. That if I compromised like what I thought was best for them, because it's the fine line that we walk as a trainer is that we are in a business that we're in a service industry. You're servicing another person and they're paying for a service. And some people have, this is the service I want. And in their mind, they are for sure this is what they want. And if they don't buy it from you, they're going to go buy it from someone else. And so I know that if I can't capture them and wow them over or impress them or give them what they want at that moment to get them to enroll with me, I'm never going to be able to impact their lives later down the road. And they're just going to get some trainer who's terrible, who's just going to give them what they want and just keep re-signing them and keep selling them more training while they're not really getting any progress or really truly helping this person with the root cause. So maybe at first I might give somebody what they're looking for, even though I know something else is better, because I know that I'm going to have to slowly win them over. And that's, I think that is something important because, you know, I would teach trainers this skill set that what we're sharing right now, and then they would try and emulate it, but then they didn't quite have the confidence to be able to get somebody to change their mind in 1 hour, to really understand where you're coming from, and then to now believe in you. So sometimes you have to kind of give a little bit of what they want, even though you know it's not what's best for them right then and there, because it takes a little bit of a process to change a mind like that in another direction. So, you know, you got to be careful when you listen to all this great information from Mind Pump, and you hear these trainers that, you know, fuck, we've been doing this for 15 plus years. And, you know, we have a total different level of confidence when we sit down with somebody in comparison to what I had when I was 3 years into fitness, where that at that point, you know what, I might have had to kind of give a little bit and do what they want to do. But then while I was doing it, I was kind of explaining where this road goes. Like, we just had a hard ass workout, and she's like high fiving, like, fuck yeah, that's what I wanted. And I'm like, well, you know, now that we did that though, but here's the, some of the things that could cause us some problems down the road, because we chose to train so intensely right away. And then I would start to make them more aware and educate them along the way. And then after a while, they start to pick up on, well, then why are we training this way? Well, because you were so adamant about me training you this way that you weren't going to hire me unless I gave this to you. But really, I knew what was best for you, but I knew that until you got to know me and you trusted me, you weren't going to allow me to guide you in the right direction. So that's something to think about.
Jay Swolery, what are the Mind Pump goals for 2017? How will you be able to top 2016?
Oh, we're going
to
crush 2016. There's no doubt we're crushing 2016.
Well, to be, you know, for complete transparency, we have we just launched MAPS Prime, which is definitely our most original MAPS program. It took us a lot of work. Really had to rack our brains to be able to put something together like Prime, because there was nothing else out there like it. And so it was completely original. We couldn't borrow off anything. It was just, we had to put it together in a way where the average person can use it. We have some goals for releasing maybe one other program, and then we're going to go back and bolster all the ones we've created and really focus on what we already have, just making it that
just
much
tighter
better.
And yeah, well presented.
Yeah. We also have this great facility that we just invested in, you know, Mind Pump Media, which has got this, you know, this big gym area, this big open space. And then we have this nice recording studio with a green screen. And we'd like to host seminars out of our facility. We'd like to eventually develop talent.
Well, we're already doing that. We've got, you know, we've got Brink coming in for a seminar. We've got Dr. Spina coming in. Yeah. We've got the barefoot specialist coming in.
Yeah, we really want to establish ourselves as, you know,
education facilities.
Great information for you to count on. And then we're bringing it in house.
Yeah, we want that, you know, we want that reputation, you know, we want to solidify that reputation and that integrity. So, I mean, like why we partnered with Kettlebell Kings for the kettlebells that we have in our facility. There's lots of kettlebell companies. Kettlebell Kings are one of the best products, but they're also purists. And we like that. They're not about, you know, like, you know, you see some of these kettlebells out there that are, you know, they're designed to look cool, but they're not very functional. You know what I mean? You don't want to use a kettlebell that's got all these jagged edges to it, or, you know, it looks like a whatever, you know, an animal or whatever. It's very hard to use. We want to work with people who are experts in their field, who are purists. We're pretty versed in right. kettlebells, but we aren't the kings of that right. aspect. We like
well,
them.
We're
going to
expand on that. I mean, there's right. other areas of fitness that
exactly
we see that, like, maybe there's somebody else out there that I mean, they're well known and they're well versed for that very specific niche, and you know, we're all about the purist mentality, and we want to make sure that we want to align with companies like that are really, you know, trying to stay in that category.
Well, yeah, the best information you're going to get on a product is going to come from people who just specialize in that particular area. But even beyond that, you know, something I identified years ago, like, I started my own wellness facility, and I owned a gym actually even before that at the age of 21. And I recognized that in the fitness industry, there is kind of a ceiling. If you're an employee or working for yourself, you know, working in the fitness industry, it's very difficult to be extremely successful unless you start this company and, you know, explode and really blow up. But let's say you're a really, really good trainer, or you're, you know how to make, you know, nutrition, you know how to make good food, or, you know, you give good advice. where do you go from there? I mean, you can work in corporate fitness. You're only going to go so far. You can try opening your own gym, your own facility, which is a huge risk, and it's very difficult unless you're super business savvy. You could be the greatest trainer in the world, but you're not going to go very far. There weren't very many routes to take. And what we want to do, maybe 2017, maybe 2018, is become that place. We want to be able to produce that talent for these, you know, very gifted trainers, gifted yoga instructors, gifted, you know, nutritionists or, you know, meditation specialists, to where they can go to Mind Pump Media and we can help develop their talent and help promote it so that they can do very well with what they're doing, become, you know, independently successful, but at the same time spread this message that they're, that they have, that we find, you know, to be conducive towards health, longevity, and fitness, you know, to kind of counter some of the, you know, messages that we've talked about in the fitness industry that we don't like, that revolve around cosmetic, that revolve around making people feel shitty and encourage, you know, poor relationships to, you know, with food and with exercise. So
I really think that in 2016, we, the main goal was to build this foundation, right? We knew that, you know, the goal was to try and get all the maps out. So we're slightly behind on that. You know, I know we wanted to have all that out. So, and then like Sal was saying, go back and bolster all of them. So, everybody, any of the questions that we had over the last couple of years and the concerns, we can come back and have coaching points to all those so that we feel like we've got the programming dialed in really well. Then we wanted to build a facility that we would be able to do everything in-house, that the future of Mind Pump for the next 5 to 10 years can be done out of this facility. And that's not to say that we don't grow out of this before that, but we knew that we wanted to build something that, okay, all the vision, all the things and all the legs that this thing is going to have, can we actually do that out of this facility? And that is the purpose of the green screen. That's the purpose of the huge studio. That's the purpose of the small gym outside and the facility where we can actually have employees, where we have a lounge area. We're going to be able to do all these things that we plan to do. And then in 2017, I really feel that this is going to be the year where you're going to see us forge some serious relationships. So we've been vetting a lot of people in this previous year. We've had a lot of doctors. We've had a lot of companies that we've met with. We had a lot of people that we were close to forging relationships with that we didn't. We've had a few that we've decided we'd go with right now. But I think that we are going to really align ourselves in 2017 with the relationships that you're going to see us in the future go forward with this company. But we were very careful about doing that. You know, we didn't just hop on the first company that was going to give us money to promote their shit. Like we weren't looking for that. That's not what we were trying to do. We really do want to become, I mean, I really foresee Mind Pump as the filter for the fitness industry above all other filters. Like I really believe that we're going to be that big in the industry, that we are going to be that place that you can trust for information. And that's really what we're about. Like it's more about that than actual tangible products for us. Sure, we're going to have some things that we sell or that we are affiliated with, but really, I really want to be in the business of information. I really want to be in the business of health and fitness knowledge and helping people get that. And then doing it in kind of an entertaining manner. I mean, we try to make it digestible for people. We try and make it very loose and fun. And I think that is, that's a major goal for us. Cause I think there's a lot of good doctors and scientists and people out there that are putting information, but Jesus, man, it's, you fall asleep to half of it when you're listening to it. And then you got the other side where all these fucking bros are giving bullshit advice. I think we really want to take all the really good information, the really good minds out there, introduce them to you if you don't know them already, and filter some of the dry stuff out and help you out with making it digestible.
Well, I think too, like next year, speaking to the fact that we're going to have all these like bright minds come through here, I really feel like it's going to help us out and get more educated.
Yes.
And everything we talk about on the show is going to change as a result of all these bright minds that are going to come in here and influence us. So that was a big goal for us to begin with, was just to get more educated. And we've been definitely spewing out a lot of our own like personal experience and knowledge, and it's definitely time for us to expand on that a bit further. And I feel like 2017 is going to be a big year for that, for us to grow. And that's going to spark a lot of new things, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to really dive into some cool education, you know, really just expand our own breadth of knowledge on everything from, you know, nutrition and exercise, of course, to things like meditation and mindfulness and, you know, business and you know, mm-hmm. neuro, you know, neuroscience and you know, the microbiome. I mean, the good thing about interviewing some of these really smart people is we get to learn from them. But there's some cool courses out there that are coming out. Man, the functional stuff that's coming out. That's getting, you know, some little bit of wind is yeah. breakthrough.
It's crazy. And just, you know, really, I mean, I've been exposed to it for a while, but now taking the time to absorb it and really dive in deeper with it is really fascinating to me to see what and how quickly it's moving within the professional sports realm and how people are adopting all these new concepts. And you know, for me personally, launching a product is going to be a big deal for me next year. And, you know, something that I would love to talk about on the show a bit more as it's actually out in the open and, you know, our sort of involvement with that and then being exposed to other products on the market that are game changer things that people are doing. Like, so, you know, there's just a lot of cool stuff, you know, aligned for us next year that will make for great radio, I feel.
I also think that we're going to get even more connected to our current audience. Recently we've been dabbling with our Mevo and how we're going to utilize that to
the live stream.
Yeah, the live stream, so we can become even more connected with our current audience. And I think this is something that we've been talking a lot about, how we're going to do that with the private forum, where they're going to have access to us, where we will be able to live stream and communicate. I think that's important to all of us because we've now gotten to a point where we've grown so big that, I mean, God, I remember when we first started, we literally were able to talk to almost everybody, you know, and so that's obviously impossible now. So, you know, we don't want to lose that. That's a very important piece to us. And, you know, we care so much about those that have helped us grow and continue to push this movement. Of just all of us growing and educating together. And I think I'm really happy with where 2016 went, even though I feel like we're a little bit behind on some of the things that we wanted to accomplish. I couldn't be happier with the message that we've continued to give and even how we've grown through the podcast. And like the boys were saying, I think as we continue to flood ourselves with more and more good education information, even our tone and tune will kind of slightly change. And I think that we always gave that to everybody that listen, you know, we don't claim to be the know-it-alls. We don't claim to be, you know, this is the right way or this is the wrong way. It's that we're constantly trying to share information and help everybody grow together. So I see some really big strides in that in 2017. So I'm super pumped about that.
Elena Janelle, can you train the same muscle group back to back, back to back days if you're not sore from the first day?
So before I answer this, I want to correct part of this question because she says, if you're not sore from the first day, you can actually train a muscle group back to back if you're sore too. So the answer is yes. And if you're sore, you can still do it. The difference is you need to adjust the intensity both times. Frequent stimulation of your muscles is extremely effective at both getting faster results and at facilitating recovery. Mm-hmm. So if you are sore, sometimes working it the day after, especially if you work it in a very light way with full ranges of motion and good extension and good contraction, it's going to help it even recover faster.
Right.
But one thing you want to consider, when you work out, especially if you're a natural athlete, the muscle building signal, the adaptation signal, starts to decline after, you know, 1 to 3 days. So although you may still be sore and you may be recovering, that muscle building signal is gone, which is why, you know, programs like RMAPS programs are so effective because they focus on frequency of stimulation. You're setting that signal, or you're constantly keeping that signal as a priority to build muscle, even though you may still be recovering. So that old concept of, and I say old because you're starting to see now other trainers and gyms and stuff start to understand this, that old concept of beat a muscle up and then wait till it's fully recovered before you work it again is getting thrown out because we're starting to understand that adaptation, which is what we want. We want the muscles to try to adapt, which is, you know, get stronger, build, it can be separate from recovery. So if just because you're sore and you're recovering does not mean you're adapting, and vice versa, we can cause adaptation changes in muscle without causing further damage. Like again, if I train my chest really hard today and it's really sore tomorrow, and then I go in the gym tomorrow and I go real light and get good stretching with some maybe some pec deck flies and some cables and just get some blood into that muscle and work it out at a low intensity, I'm not going to create further damage. In fact, studies will prove this. But what I will do is I will accelerate the rate of adaptation. So I'll make that chest, you know, my chest grow even faster. So frequency, again, very, very important. Trigger session concept, the mobility session concept, the focus session concept on all of our MAPS programs understands this and utilizes this. It's all about how you use intensity. If you train really hard one day, you can hit that muscle again the next day. You just got to go with much less intensity.
It's a totally different mindset.
And I want to add, it's very individual. So if your muscles are very conditioned and you're in great shape and you've been doing this for a while, you can train at a higher intensity back-to-back days than you can to it for a complete beginner. A complete beginner will come in, and if their legs are real sore, I might just have them get into like stretch positions and just focus on moving, you know, the muscles versus versus working out. And your body will also adapt to frequency. So when you first take your workout and train muscles more frequently, over time you'll be able to increase that frequency, just like you will with anything else with your workouts. Like I can work my whole body every day now, and I'll three or four of those workouts will be intense, and the other two or three will be less intense. I couldn't do that when I first started training my body on a more frequent basis. I've noticed that my body, it can handle more. So keep that in mind as well. If you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like it and we pick your review, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin is at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.